Boxing Sale, April 9 and 10, Riverside Stables, Sydney.
I'm Sarah Warmby. A silver fern has been projected onto the Sydney Opera House as a symbol of solidarity for the people of New Zealand following the Christchurch attack. The sails of the Opera House were lit up last night, a day after Muslims were massacred while worshipping at mosques in Christchurch. The Silver Fern of New Zealand illumination represented solidarity, support and respect after at least 49 people were killed when an Australian alleged gunman stormed two mosques. Meantime, New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has vowed to change the nation's gun laws after confirming the primary perpetrator in Christchurch's terror attack, 28-year-old Brenton Tarrant, used five weapons.
Undoubtedly, New Zealanders will question how someone could have come to have been in possession of weapons of this nature. One of the issues we're facing is that the guns that were used in this case appear to have been modified. That is a challenge that police have been facing, and that's a challenge that we will look to address in changing our laws.
In Melbourne, thousands of people have stood shoulder to shoulder at a rally against Islamophobia in the wake of the New Zealand massacre. Prayers were read and tears shed for the victims during yesterday's event at Victoria State Library to stand in solidarity with the Islamic community. The rally was one of many protests of its kind held across the globe ahead of next week's International Day for the Elimination of Discrimination. To other news, Tasmania police are asking for the public's help to piece together the events before a man came to a Launceston hospital suffering stab wounds to his torso. The 38-year-old man attended Launceston General Hospital early yesterday morning for treatment for his injuries, wearing blue jeans and a white Unit-branded T-shirt. Police are asking anyone with information to contact Crime Stoppers. Hundreds of Queensland homes have been left without power as wild weather continues to battle the state. The rain will stick around for the rest of the weekend across southeast Queensland and into next week, with the possibility of severe storms tomorrow. Mozambique, Zimbabwe and Malawi have been hit by a vicious cyclone that has killed more than 140 people. The devastating storm left hundreds more missing and stranded tens of thousands who were cut off from roads and telephones in mainly poor rural areas. The BBC Shingai Nokia has more.
Social media images show homes, bridges and roads swept away by floods. Chimanimani, which borders Mozambique, is one of the worst affected areas. The Information Ministry said on Twitter that two of the dead are students, and the death toll is expected to rise as authorities assess the situation. Reuters reports that air evacuation of those cut off by floods is being hampered by strong winds. Cyclone Idai has dumped rain across eastern and central Zimbabwe. The Weather Service expects rains to continue throughout the weekend.
Briefly, pro-Brexit protesters have begun to march from northeast England to London, accusing politicians of betrayal by failing to take Britain out of the European Union. And France's yellow vest protesters have taken to the streets for the 18th consecutive weekend. This is Air News. All off-season talk about North Queensland has been on retired legend Jonathan Thurston's absence, but it seems everyone has forgotten about the other JT. Jason Tamalolo was unstoppable against St George Illawarra last night in the Cowboys' 24-12 season opening victory in Townsville, the lock running for 286 metres and playing a pivotal role in two tries. The Dragons looked the more settled side early and scored the first try in a Dow opening half before JT took over. Earlier, the Tigers defeated Manly 20-6 and New Zealand thrashed the Bulldogs 40-6. Interim Central Coast coach Alan Stajic praised the spirit of his side and the mental strength of goalkeeper Ben Kennedy after they shocked Newcastle 3-2 in a stoppage time thriller at McDonald Jones Stadium. In their first game under the former Matildas boss, the last place Mariners damaged Newcastle's final hopes in a dramatic finish last night. Stajic said all the accolades belong to the players.
Just to see the spirit and the effort and the way that the lads went about their work, you could see that they were really fighting and scrapping scrapping for every moment, trying to win every ball, every challenge.
In the other game, Brisbane went down to Melbourne 2-1 at Docklands. Lewis Hamilton has claimed a record-equalling eighth pole position at the Australian Grand Prix in Melbourne. And in the AFLW, there were wins for Fremantle and Adelaide. Australian Independent Radio News.
Nova Employment has been matching businesses to staff with ability for over 28 years and have an unbeatable track record of success. Nova can assist businesses of all sizes.
I'm Susie from Extend Bar in Parramatta. Nova Employment has matched our vacancy with an employee who has excellent work ethic and great attention to detail. I'd recommend other employers focus on ability.
Recruiting? Choose Nova Employment, Sydney's premier disability employment service. Visit novaemployment.com.au.
Friday nights have come alive at Winnie Park with the brand new Friday Night Lightning Series. The Big Dash of the Dogs will feature the fastest greyhounds around, whilst we party at the park with Sydney's coolest DJs. Grab your mates and get down to the Dogs at Wentworth Park this Friday from 5 p.m. and ride the mechanical bull, belt out the national anthem, and take a splash in the lightning hot tub. Friday Night Lightning is the hottest ticket in town. Entry is just $5 of the gate. This is an event you don't want to miss. Head to the Friday Night Lightning Facebook page for more info, and we'll see you at the Dogs.
He puts the exclamation mark in what's been a very good day for Australia from 2-0 down.
Oh, here's Mane. And Mane has turned Neuer. Fantastic goal scored by Sadio Mane. Jurgen Klopp salutes the Liverpool supporters. Oh,
scores, expert comment and controversy on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Welcome to the program. Hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. We always do here at Sky Sports Radio. And by the way, Ray Thomas, as we welcome our listeners for this St. Patrick's Day celebration, we've got to say hello to our new listeners as well.
We're branching out, James.
We have.
We're going national?
Well, quasi-national, yeah. And look, World Wide Web, we're international too. Let's not forget that. But a big good morning to our listeners around New South Wales, but also around Queensland, Tasmania, South Australia and the Northern Territory as well.
How good's that?
Yeah, it's a little bit exciting, isn't it? So we've got a new audience. And look, if you're just turning on the radio for the first time this morning and on a Sunday morning,
who on earth are these two blokes?
1353 53, that's the open line number. Give us the call. 1353
53. Say good morning, talking anything sport.
You can do an SMS as well, 0419 767 272. That's 0419 767 272. And of course, we're on social media as well, Raymond, at Big Sports WEND. At Big Sports WEND. Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith up until 10 o'clock in New South Wales and all the different.
Be careful, be careful when you go. There's about 48 different time zones.
So, New South Wales and Tasmania, of course, on the same time zone. South Australia's half an hour behind. Queensland's an hour behind. And Northern Territory is an hour and a half.
You've nailed it, James.
So I've got all my notes written down here, Roman. Hey, we're looking forward to a big show today, mate. We're going to go through lots of racing that's been happening, of course, in New South Wales, in Sydney yesterday at Rosehill. A little bit of a wet day there, but some good performances. We'll chat with Peter Snowden. Cosmic Force was a horse he was talking about pre that run yesterday.
He wanted him in the Golden Slipper, didn't he?
And now it's the horse that everyone's talking about after his performance yesterday. So we'll speak to Pete about that. Michael Hawks, we'll have a chat to him about Supernova. I think he's on the program mainly because you backed it, Ray, and had a good day at the races yesterday, didn't you?
It's a nice horse, Supernova.
It's even nicer when you're having
a
collect.
I shouldn't tell you anything, should I? No, he's a very nice horse, Supernova. And potentially, will the Sydney Cup come too soon? Maybe, but we'll ask Michael Hawks.
And we're going to have a chat too with Ronnie Quinton. I asked you earlier, and I'm going to put you on the spot again.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a more popular person in racing than Ronnie Quinton?
Gee, if he's not the most popular, he's in a triple dead heat with Paddy Webster and Miracle Mel.
Well, Paddy Webster was the other name that I mentioned. Miracle Mel, leave him, but anyway.
You're bagging him. You can't do
nah,
that.
The great man, the former part of this program. Zora will be along to have a chat. Rugby League, for those people who don't know, the former Manly player, long-time Manly official, newsman, a journalist with strong views on the game of rugby league. So we'll have a chat to Zorb about that. We'll have our event cinemas quiz. Now, unprecedented scenes last week. You had a bit of a break.
Dave from Wattlegrove's already chimed in. Jimmy, I'm not aware of this. He said last week's quiz disgrace. What does that mean?
Well, Dave Stanley cheated.
What?
Yes, absolutely cheated. Openly, knowingly, on your behalf, and it meant that you actually won.
Yeah. So it counts, does it?
Well, I'm going to have to.
Okay, score check is?
5-5.
Okay.
We're all square there. Event Cinemas quiz. For those people who don't know, call up, answer the questions on behalf of either Ray or myself, and you can win for yourself a double pass to any Event Cinemas around the country.
They're national.
Absolutely.
Prakash has made sure of this.
We'll send it out. Yeah, Prakash is our man on the inside there at George Street, so he's provided that prize. So that'll be on again today as well. We'll speak some more league with Dean Bulldog Ritchie. Great to have him back,
he's a regular
on the program. So we can go through all these first-round scores. It's been a big start to the rugby league season. And our legend today, we've got it in the can, as they say in the industry. But given the fact we're going to a new audience, a lot of Queensland listeners, a lot of rugby league listeners, the one, the only, King Wally Lewis will be our legend.
It was a great interview, wasn't it? It's a great interview. He's a person you can listen to talk for hours and hours and hours.
We had about 15 minutes and we had to cut him short. We wanted to go longer than that.
We should go back there to King Wally this year at some stage.
Revisit?
I think so.
That's a good idea.
Around Origin time. What do you think?
Good thinking, Ray. You must be the ideas man.
Sadly not.
Sports update with Tanya. We'll talk some A-League and English Premier League and FA Cup with our man Phil Moss, who, by the way, couldn't ring in last week. Allegedly, he was sick. I think he was sick and tired of the Mariners getting beaten. Alan Stajic gets a start up there.
Did you see the end of that game?
They have a win.
But did you see what happened at the end?
I didn't see the end. I've read about it.
Extraordinary.
Okay.
3-2 in the end, the Mariners.
Yes.
Two penalty saves right at the death by the Mariners goalkeeper. Literally with seconds to go, they were able to take a retake of the first saved penalty. I'll have to ask Phil Moss what that rule is. It was extraordinary. And anyway, but they've hung on, Mariners, for a deserved win. Massive upset.
Alan Stajic, there you go. Coaching the men now and doing a good job in his first game in the A-League. So we'll speak to Mossy about that. And, of course, we'll get Jared Daffy along from TAB as well to have a chat about today's prices. Good man, Jared.
Mm.
You know, I first worked on air with Jared 16 years ago.
Gee, I've known Jared probably 20-odd years.
Isn't that right? Yeah. Typical Ray Thomas. Just trumps you.
No,
just adds the GST. Good on you.
No, I did.
You're the best.
I'm much older than you, though, James. Don't forget.
Clearly. NRL started, of course, on Thursday night. Some of the games. Okay. Let's go through the scores. 22 points to 12. Broncos fans, don't get too upset. I know that. They got back to 16-12. They should have been down 24-0 at half time. Mm. They had no right to get so close. And in the end, a very professional Storm get the result, 22 points to 12. The Knights, 14 points to 8 over Sharks in a bit of a clunky game. I've got to say, whatever they're paying David Clemmer in Newcastle.
What a game he had.
Well worth it. Well worth it.
It was fantastic.
Roosters beaten by the Rabbitohs. So Wayne Bennett starts his campaign at Redfern with a win over arch rivals, 26 points to 16. I tell you what, that'll endear him to the Rabbitohs faithful, won't it?
Off to a flyer.
The Warriors flogged the Bulldogs. They scored some spectacular tries. They were fantastic. Alarm bells for Bulldogs fans.
Mm. What'd you think of the Dogs?
Very disappointing.
Yeah.
Very disappointing. Warriors were good, though. Tigers, 20 points to 6 over the Seagulls at Leichhardt. Robbie Farah, 35 years of age.
Turn the clock back, Bobby.
played superbly, and the Cowboys beat your Dragons. And just to clarify for the listeners, Ray's got at least two NRL teams.
And you've got about four, haven't you? Because you played for four.
Cowboys 24, Dragons 12. Jason Taumalolo was the talk of the town afterwards.
301 metres he ran for.
He's a freak. Oh, what about the try assist?
He's just unbelievable.
I put it out on social media last night, and I'll stand by it this morning. Jason Taumalolo will be the first non-Australian immortal.
I saw you tweet that last night. Yeah,
and non-Australian immortal.
For a man of his size, he's remarkably light in his feet. He's got a great step off both feet. He's an absolute wrecking ball, isn't he?
Superb player. Panthers v Eels today, Titans v Raiders. That'll round out round one of the National Rugby League.
Great to have the footy back. Jimmy, a couple of things I've noticed so far. The very defence orientated, obviously. Is this the reason, James? The penalty count, super low at the moment. It was only 5-4 in the Storm game. 18 penalties in the Knights Sharks game, 9. That was the most of any game in round one. 6-3 the Roosters game. 3-2 Warriors. 6-9 the Tigers Manly game. And 5-all penalties Cowboys and Dragons. Isn't that a far cry from what we were seeing last year?
Completely different. It was announced that way through Graham Annesley. He said, look, we're not going to be nitpicking like we were last year. There was this feeling from inside the referees' ranks that they'd lost their way, and certainly there was a feeling outside of that, that they were looking for things that they didn't have to. And now the question remains, does the game flow better when there's less penalties? Because for those Melbourne Storm fans, and I know obviously a very popular side in Queensland as well, and understandably so with the great Queenslanders that have played for them, gee, Cameron Smith gets caught up in legs and arms and awfully lot during the course of a game, doesn't he? It's just incredible how he does that.
What a player he is, though, seriously.
Yeah.
He's just extraordinary.
And 35 years of age, still getting it done, much
and
like Robbie
Farah. And he might go a couple more years, they're tipping.
Well, that's the speculation. We'll have to wait and see. But there certainly seems to be, after that first game, very little dimming of his powers, which is a very significant thing. Now, the other thing we wanted to talk about too, Ray, beyond the racing, is the Australian cricket side. During the course of the week, it sometimes gets lost on us, doesn't it? Because it happens overseas and it happens in the middle of the night and you're sometimes not quite up with it. They were down 2-0 in the one-day series against India in India. And their best one-day batsman, arguably, well,
their best
they do. I'm saying Aaron Finch, completely out of form. And then bang, bang, they find a way to win.
3-2.
On the trot.
The Australian national side has never done that. Now, remember, we've beaten India in India without Smith and Warner, without Stark, without Hazelwood.
Yes.
Now, those four will come back into Australia's top 11.
Yes.
Hazelwood's back injury apparently may keep him out of the World Cup. They're going to keep him in cotton wool for the Ashes series. But if you bring Smith and Warner back, you bring Stark back, all of a sudden you've got an Australian team that can win this World Cup, Jimmy.
So they're the defending champs, of course, 2015 here in Australia. I was looking at that side last night. So there's Clark, Watson, Haddon, Faulkner, Johnson, Bailey, Doherty, and you'd have to say Mitch Marsh, who was in the squad, and Hazelwood, who won't be there. It's going to be a completely new-looking squad.
Well, we're assuming Warner and Smith come straight back into World Cup and the Test team, and apparently they're going to visit the ODI team that's currently in the UAE ready for a five-match series against Pakistan. They're on their way through to the IPL. Their ban finishes in less than 2 weeks, but they will meet up with the Australian team to talk tactics going into the World Cup and the Ashes team. Smith and Warner come straight back in. Does Finch hold his spot in the ODI side?
Well, that's the big question. I think he does. I think he does. Just on that, they're going over there to talk tactics. What are they really going over there to do, Ray?
Well, reacquaint themselves with the national side.
Over there to clear the air, aren't they?
Well, and so they should.
How long should that? They've got to get on the same page and they've got to do it quickly. And there was all sorts of speculation about what relationships were damaged and what was going to happen moving forward and who owns this.
Don't fix it up in England for the World Cup.
Justin Langer, if there's one thing you have to do, and there's more than one, but the one thing that you have to do is, if you can't get them all on the same page, at least make them believe that they're on the same page.
I reckon Justin Langer will do that. But we're assuming Smith and Warner come straight back in.
Yes.
I didn't realise this, Jimmy, until I was looking at the Ashes tour that's coming up, Australia will not name their Ashes side until as late as 2 weeks out of the first test in Birmingham. That's never happened before. Normally we name our Ashes squad months in advance, the World Cup obviously impacting that. There'll be an Australia A side playing first-class cricket in England during the World Cup. Then about 2 weeks out from the first test, an Australian 11 will play the Australia A side, which
good
essentially
idea.
Will
I like
be
it.
A selection. You know, you bat well there, you bowl well, you're in the Ashes squad.
Well, remember when the ill-fated tour in 2005, they were playing one-day internationals all the way leading up to the Test matches, had no long-form cricket and
got caught
well and truly short. 2-1, the Perth Wildcats are leading that NBL playoff series against Melbourne United. We don't yet go into WA or Victoria, so as a result of that, we're not going to cover that anymore throughout the course of the morning, all right? But if you've got a basketball tournament going on over there in Adelaide...
We've covered the NBL all summer. You can't just drop it now.
The Kings aren't in it, so we start losing a little bit of interest. What about Andrew Bogut over to the Golden State Warriors? What about that?
Might get a championship too.
It's incredible. Well, he should get a championship. Should've be very surprised if he didn't get a championship.
Exactly.
Anyway, we'll look forward to that. Now, our talk topic for today, we like to enjoy ourselves with a talk topic. And by the way, we've got lots of stuff to give away. So we've got the event cinemas... Some would argue too much. We've got the Event Cinemas quiz, so that's a double pass courtesy of Event Cinemas. We've also got the China Doll long-time listener competition where we give you three questions throughout the course of the 3 hours. You have to get...
We better not stuff that up, too. We've got to make sure we actually do three questions, okay?
We've got three questions every week. I don't know why you'd think with
sometimes
our brand new audience...
Sometimes we're a bit tardy out of the barriers with our questions.
Anyway, we'll get the three questions. You get them all right, and then you win yourself a $150 voucher courtesy of China Doll, chinadoll.com.au in Sydney.
And we can endorse the
said product, absolutely. But if you're the winner from Alice Springs... We accept no responsibility for transport options, right?
What are you going to do then, Jim? Have you thought this one through?
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll send you a Google Maps, quickest way from Alice Springs to China Doll, at Woolloomooloo Wharf in Sydney. That's down by the harbour for anyone who's listening interstate.
Of course, we want to encourage our interstate listeners to contribute and participate in the show.
We do. We'll find a lovely cafe up
could
there.
Could it be
the
Happy Inn and... Alice Springs or something, I don't know.
The lovely cafe up there at Alice Springs we might be able to do a contra deal with. Okay, all right. So that's another one. And then we've also got a giveaway, and we want to encourage this contribution.
We do.
For Wingman Beer, who, by the way, we're championing.
Talking about endorsing said product.
It's a good beer. And, you know, we're not getting ahead of ourselves by saying we wouldn't endorse anything that wasn't we didn't like ourselves. So, yeah. Anyone from Toyota's listening, anyway, that's a separate issue.
How many more are we going to drop? potential sponsors.
1353-53 is the open line number. We've got our talk topic for today. And on the back of Cody Walker saying to Angus Crichton on Friday night at the SCG, you're a traitor. You left us. You're traitors in sport. The ones who walked away from their original size to go to maybe greener pastures.
Did you cop that during your rugby league career?
I played with a number of clubs.
Wasn't it? In the NRL?
No, three.
Oh, and Salford.
Yeah. That's because I got sacked at the other one. Not necessarily because I left for greener pastures. I left to get a game.
At least you played first grade.
Yeah. So, Roman, you're a traitor?
That's a tough word, isn't it?
Yeah. I know why. Because you're going to
realise.
All right, I'll rephrase it. Persons who left for greater opportunity or greener pastures.
Sir Donald Bradman.
Oh, you're calling him a traitor. You're calling Sir Donald a traitor.
Yeah. Leaves New South Wales to go to South Australia.
Yes.
At a bank job, which he remained in for many, many years.
Yes.
And lived out his days in Adelaide. But when he left New South Wales, massive story, James.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Understandably so. So the Don goes to Adelaide and Ray calls him a traitor. I'm just clarifying that. No, fair enough. Babe Ruth, for me.
Ah, he went to the Yankees.
He went to the Yankees, the house that Babe built.
From Boston, was he?
He was from Boston Red Sox. He won a World Series as a pitcher with the Boston Red Sox. And then he went to the Yankees, and it was the curse of the Bambino. They couldn't win for years, the Boston Red Sox, until they jagged a couple in.
And Babe Ruth, the house that Babe built.
The house
Yankee
that Babe
Stadium.
Built. You've been there. You've been there. So that's our talk topic for today. Traitors. 1353-53 is the open line number. It's the Big Sports Breakfast weekend. It's Ray and Jimmy. Time for our first break here. We'll be back with more, including a chat with Peter Snowden.
Don't forget to join us Monday morning, Punters Postmortem, 9 a.m. We analyse the Group 1 Coolmore Classic. It's the last throw at the stumps for the juveniles in the Magic Night and the Pango Pango, plus the drama from the All-Star Mile in Melbourne. All that from 9 o'clock, Punters Postmortem.
So, who are you backing in the next?
Well, I like this one at the distance, but...
TAB's got you covered for the Country and Provincial Championship qualifiers. Place a fixed odds win bet on any qualifier this weekend, and if your horse runs second or third, get a bonus bet back up to $50.
We're on here, boys. Lock it in.
So, who are you backing? TAB. Download the app today. Excludes SA and WA residents. TAB account best only. T's and C's at tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
Supercoach NRL is back. Take on your mates in the ultimate test of footy knowledge and compete to win 50 grand plus weekly cash prizes. Season starts March 14, so round up your mates and register your team at supercoach.com.au. Conditions apply.
Petersek out wider is about to pounce, and the black oval is all over just like that. Look at her go the last little bit. The filly is so dominant. Petersek with the ears pricked by four. Rome second, McLaren third.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. It's 7:25 in New South Wales and Tasmania, 6:55 in South Australia, 6:25 in Queensland, and it's 5:55 in Northern Territory.
Well done, James, you know that. You've been worried about it all night.
All night. It's been confusing me.
Well, welcome to all our interstate listeners. Big day of racing yesterday at Rose Hill and Flemington, the opening day of the Golden Slipper Festival. Unfortunately, the weather has set in. We need the rain. Kept the crowd numbers down, but the racing was spectacular. The first race replay I'd like to highlight was the Magic Night Stakes. It's Godolphin again, Kiyomichi.
Coming to the turn, Kiyomichi in front. Invincible Lotus goes to second now. Needle third. Athiri back on the inside. Villamay under the pump. Further back to Starlet. Crystal Falls with the rails runner. Further back to Ice Bar. Probabil is still near last, but Kiyomichi with a good lead. At the 300 metres, two in front of the stablemate Athiri. Then Needle, Crystal Falls and Starlet battling away. Kiyomichi a length clear. Athiri under the stick. He's trying to bridge the gap. Kiyomichi a half in front to Athiri. Going well, Kiyomichi in front, 50 out. Kiyomichi's going to dominate the Magic Night. Goes on to win it. Second, probably Crystal Falls in the last bound over Athiri.
Kiyomichi gets there at $23, Ray. So if we look at the market now, this is Godolphin all over the market. Don't worry, P&P Snowden are there or thereabouts as well. Yes, yes, yes. City Ford says yes more often. That's
another one.
$5.
How many you got?
Not enough. Microphone and Tenley. At $6.
Both Godolphin.
Cosmic Force, superb yesterday, in out of $7. What does that say about Microphone's victory over Cosmic Force? We'll get your thoughts. Liar, which is another Godolphin horse, at $9. And then if you want to get down to Kiyomichi, is there at $34.
Yeah, now at this stage, Godolphin have Tenley, Exhilarates, Pinsec, Microphone, definitely in the race. Kiyomichi has now qualified. Plus, they're trying to get Bivouac in. Potentially, Athiri may come in as well. This is all for James Cummings. And, of course, Anthony Friedman also trains for Godolphin. He has Lias. So they could have his seven, eight runners. They could have half the Golden Super Field, which is extraordinary. And certainly, James Cummings is a very powerful hand. But so do Peter and Paul Snowden.
Yes.
We've been talking all season. There hasn't really been a dominant two-year-old. Well, this was dominant. Cosmic Force in the Pango Pango.
Cosmic Force a length off them, closing in now. He's starting to come with a good run. Cosmic Force going after Born a Warrior. They beat off Moe's Crown and a gap back then to Stronger, who's making ground. But Cosmic Force beat off Born a Warrior, storms away. Stronger's running home into a minor place. But this really strengthens the Microphone form. Cosmic Force absolutely canes them. And did McDonald have a nice sustained peep there? Five lengths to the margin, maybe more to Born a Warrior, Stronger. Autocratic. Really,
in the end, it was 7.5 lengths. Wasn't it? Cosmic Force. A long look back for James McDonald. Yeah. And he won't be riding Cosmic Force in the slipper next week.
Yeah, and the good thing about Cosmic Force is when I was watching it very close to the replay, the last 100 metres or so, James really sat up. So I talked to Peter Snowden about it because he's on the quick backup now, Cosmic Force, but he didn't have a hard run.
So it wasn't a gut buster.
No, and the telling thing is, James, the forecast for Sydney this week, we've got rain through until Thursday.
Yes.
So the track is going to be rain affected to some degree. Just how badly, we don't know, because like tomorrow the forecast is horrendous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Up to 80 mils. So look, we're going to get a soft to heavy track. Cosmic Forces ticked that box. He's a massive chance. Okay, the big Group 1 yesterday was the Coolmore Classic. You mentioned earlier, not a more popular winner than Ronnie Quinton and Christian Reith. She's a popular horse too. Her name is Dixie Blossoms.
400 metres to run in the Coolmore Classic. Mandeli in the leader. Oregon's Day's going through on the rail. Savatiano chiming in. Dixie Blossoms one off the fence going through with El Dorado Dreamy and Mizzy working into the clear. Oregon's Day. Dixie Blossoms on the scene. And Dixie Blossoms takes the lead at the 100 and draws away from El Dorado Dreamy. And here's another Coolmore Classic for Ron Quinton. Dixie Blossoms beat El Dorado Dreamy. I think Princess Posh third in front of Mizzy.
That was a very popular win, especially at the $23 if you got it. I thought the ride of Christian Reith when couldn't get the run in the straight there, and he went back to the inside and got the ride up there. Well done. Congratulations to him. Outstanding ride. Now, just looking forward, and we'll ask Ronnie Quinton this very shortly. Dixie Blossoms looking at the Coolmore Legacy Stakes. That's on the 13th of April. Now, Winx won't be running in that.
No.
Currently in the market at $1.90. So Mystic Journey, who we'll get to very shortly, $3.50. Elise, $4.50. Dixie Blossoms is there, really third in the line of betting at $11.
Tish was good. A rising seven-year-old mare will go to stud end of this season. Had never won a Group 1 before. Had never won in 10 previous starts at Rose Hill, Jimmy. She finally gets her Group 1 and finally gets rid of that Rose Hill hoodoo. I wanted to highlight this horse as well, Jim. I think he's going to be a horse we're going to hear a lot more about in coming months. His name is Supernova.
Further back to Supernova is looking for gaps between them. A length behind it is Desert Path. Down to the 300. White Boots moved on terms here with Fabricator. Supernova's into the clear. Jim Dealer scraping paint. White Boots in front from Supernova is on terms now. Supernova takes the lead inside the 100 from White Boots. Jake's Hill late on the scene. But Supernova, second run in Australia, salutes. White Boots grabs second. White out, Jake's Hill.
So we can ask Michael Hawks this. It's most unusual for the Hawks Yard to be getting imports.
And had a lot over the years.
Yeah, so found a good one here with Supernova. The other reason that we're highlighting this race today, ladies and gentlemen, is because Rayton's backed it and completed a very good day. Well, actually, producer Tanya, who is, for those people who don't know, is your partner.
My wife.
Yeah. Well, I'm being politically correct in saying partner and wife. We're going to a new audience, Ray. We need to be. Anyway, the point. Tanya just popped her head up. Now, what I'm saying is,
where are you going with this?
Tanya just popped her head up then and thought, hang on, I didn't know that he backed it. You know when you get home from the races, how'd you go on the punt today?
About square.
And then you've put about 700 in the little side kitty.
I'm not telling you nothing ever again, James. Seriously.
Tanya said, hang on, I didn't realise he backed it.
Jeez, you're hard, man.
What'd you have on it? 20?
We're moving on.
200?
We're moving on because I want to get to this filly. I don't know how good she is. I haven't seen her race in the flesh yet, but she was outstanding yesterday. The All-Star Mile, the inaugural running of, won by the three-year-old filly. Her name is Mystic Journey. She is a star.
Mystic Journey down the outside. Hartnell's trying to get clear room, followed by Amphitrite, and then came Material Man. Elise's weaving through the pack too. At the 300, Lure Main Hawkshot grabbed by Elise and Mystic Journey. Elise on the outside, Mystic Journey a neck away, and Lure Main's going with them. A grandstand finish. Mystic Journey over the top takes the lead. She is what dreams are made of. Mystic Journey's won the All-Star Mile, elected a quarter. Photo second, Hartnell and Elise, then Lure Main.
Well, as I was calling it, the Some Stars Mile, where all the stars weren't there. But anyway, look, I know it was
Racing
Victoria's answer to the Everest, and whether it was successful or not, we'll let other people be the judge. But in my mind, Ray, well done, Mystic Journey. Is she going to go to the Coolmore Legacy?
She's had a long prep, gee, she was outstanding yesterday, and you'd almost think a Sydney campaign is on the cards. But long term, how's this for a potential matchup?
Yes.
The Autumn Sun, Arcadia Queen, Mystic Journey, Golden Eagle.
Ooh.
Could happen.
Well, now we've got an expectation that if they're not there, we're disappointed.
Correct.
So we'll work towards that. But my thought was, if you're coming up with the All-Star Mile as your counter to the Everest, it's like coming up with something to counter State of Origin, and you end up with the Boorowa Knockout. Lovely place, Boorowa. Population of 2,000.
You're packing the people.
No, it's like trying to come up with something to counter the Big Bash, and you end up with AFLX. But
yeah, it didn't work either.
No, that's right.
I think it's a place for all Samoa. I think they've got to tweak the conditions of the race so you get a better quality of horse right through the field.
Totally.
And the timing of the race, that's the concern to me, Jim. It's right dead smack in the middle of the Sydney Autumn Carnival. Unlike the Everest, which doesn't take away from the Caulfield Cup, Cox Plate and Melbourne Cup, the All-Star Mile is taking away potentially horses from the Sydney Carnival and vice versa. So the timing of that race, to me, is a concern.
Just quickly before we get to Pete Snowden on the line there, Happy Clapper, disappointment with the run?
Yeah, look, maybe he just doesn't transfer his best form to Melbourne. He did win a Group 1 second there a couple of years ago, but that wasn't the Happy Clapper we saw a couple of weeks ago against Winx.
No.
Okay, well, I mentioned earlier that Cosmic Force was as impressive a two-year-old win as we've seen all season. This is a horse who's gone well on the dry and wet tracks, Jimmy. Very important going into the Golden Slipper. Track conditions won't concern this man, Peter Snowden, who knows how to win a Golden Slipper. He's done it twice before with Sepoy and with Capitalista. Peter, good morning. And well, firstly, how did Cosmic Force pull up after the win, given the conditions were so testing yesterday?
Hey, good morning, Ray, Jimmy. He's pulled up pretty good. Pretty happy with that. Yeah, it's a devastating win, and they seem to come through pretty well.
By the sounds of things, what Ray was telling me after he spoke to you during the course of the week, you weren't surprised by the performance at all, Pete. Is that right?
No, exactly. No, he's a horse. I said to Ray during the week that I just thought he's, all my two-year-olds, he's the one that's going the right way, the quickest. He's handling his racing really well and just keeps on improving one run to the next. And good condition on him, and he's hitting really, really well. And the more he's doing, the better he's getting. So hopefully he hasn't gone off one run too soon, but he's come to the run pretty good. He won't need to do much now. He's where we want him, and he's played very well last night and everything. So a good sign to think for me that he hasn't had too hard a run, and we're ready to go next week.
That's not Cosmic Force on the water walker, is it, Pete, in the background?
That's a treadmill, actually.
The treadmill, yeah.
Well, if it's the water, it's the noisiest water walker I've ever heard.
Sorry, yeah,
it's
a treadmill. Water walker. Pete, I guess the important factor for you, given the forecast, we're going to have some more wet weather in Sydney for the next few days at least. The track's going to be affected to some degree for the Golden Slip. We're not sure how heavy it'll be or soft it'll be next Saturday, obviously, but you've ticked that box now.
Absolutely, no, I don't think it'll rain at all. He seems to perform both more wet and dry. It's one that's a huge plus for any horse. If you have any other wet track, it's nothing worse than having a good chance, as with the case yesterday. We landed plenty, and as soon as you got that much rain, you're out of play. So,
yeah.
It's very frustrating, but it's a good thing to know that the horse can never get any chance for the track.
You've got a strong hand, Pete. Anahita's there as well. Catch me, maybe McLaren. The market,
Rome.
Yeah. The market is pretty clear about their rankings. Do you have a difference of opinion on your runners?
Yeah, look, the market reacted yesterday too. I do think he's my best chance. But in saying that, if Anahita gets the fog track like yesterday, she comes right into play as well, because her only start on a heavy track was a devastating, my belief, win here at Randwick. First out run with me the other day was very good, and the last start, I was too perturbed about that. We tried right here, but further back than we would have liked.
Two wins in Sydney and her first prep were outstanding. Then she failed twice in Melbourne. But that trial on Thursday at Ramwick, I know it was on a firmer track, but to me we saw
line was very upset when Craig Lowndes went to Ford. Yes, yes, yes. He said, yes, more Felix. And then this one, morning, Jimmy and Ray. My trader is Alan Border, who played Sheffield Shield from 1980.
Dave went good last week, didn't he?
Oh, am I out the door, am I, Anthony? Is it all over for me?
And I'll tell you what, he wanted to push the racing angle too, so that's your angle too, right?
Yeah, I know, he's a good man, Dave.
Oh, what are you saying, Anthony? Yeah,
my day's a number, I think, Anthony's saying.
I think you'd be right. 1353-53 is the open line number. Let's get to Ron's on the line. G'day, Ron.
Yeah, the previous caller stole one of my thunders with Alan Broder, but what about the two Abbotts, senior and junior?
Oh, yeah.
Well, now, he was Hawthorn originally, senior, wasn't he?
Yeah, and then went to Geelong. Yep. And, of course, Gary Ablett went to the Gold Coast Suns. But back to Geelong now, Ron.
Yep.
Yeah, no, good one.
Yeah, so, all's forgiven.
All's forgiven. Two of the greatest players of all time. I still think G. Ablett's the best player I've seen. Senior.
Yeah, which one? Senior. The best player you've ever seen?
I can just remember Lee Matthews as a kid.
Right.
But I didn't actually see him live. I saw Gary Ablett. He was phenomenal.
And Never won a premiership, did he?
No, he kicked 14 goals from a wing one day at the MCG against Richmond. It was the most incredible performance you've ever seen.
Well, I'll never forget his... Was it 89 grand final, Hawthorn? Oh. Kicked nine and they lost by a point.
And he won the Norm Smith medal.
Yeah.
Best player losing team.
Yeah, there you go. So there you go, all sports covered on this program. 1353-53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. After that break, we'll have a chat with Michael Hawkes.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery and Parramatta.
Another quick success story about radio. A bakery made the tastiest sausage rolls. Anyone who tried them loved them.
Oh, scrummy.
But when they advertised, they just looked like every other. So they turned to radio, the medium Aussies trust most. So when real Aussies heard real people reacting to them, they believed the sausage rolls were as tasty,
scrummy,
like
Herbie,
as they sounded, and tried them for themselves, which tripled sales, achieving a campaign ROI of 500%.
Scrummy.
And it was all thanks to radio. Alive with taste, alive with results. Visit radioalive.com.au.
Unbiased sprinted through, hit the target, Beauty Best, Valerie's on the outside, but it's Unbiased in front for T. Morgan, Unbiased clear, off to Sydney it goes, Unbiased defeats home Tim's principal.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
That was Unbiased winning his country championship. Hey, just quickly, Jimmy, yesterday Gosford was called off, so that provincial championship has now been transferred, the actual race itself, to Newcastle on Thursday. And we have got Grafton on later on this afternoon, which is an important country championship race.
Noble Boy, $5 favourite for that
still
country championship.
Still has to qualify, Noble
Boy.
Got
to qualify. Yeah. Awesome pluck there. Unbiased has qualified. Mm-hmm. Is $11 in the market, along with Bennelong Dancer, which has also qualified, La Scopa.
La Scopa races today at Grafton. Very, very hard to beat, Jim.
So there you go. And Al Mahaha,
yes,
which I really like as a name.
Did, yeah.
Done down in Goulburn, didn't it? Al Mahaha?
It did, yeah.
Yes.
You're all over it, Jim. Yeah.
There you go.
So,
yeah.
And also, had a text from Steve at 4 tab. Good morning, Steve. Sunshine Coast currently definitely on. Heavy 9 up there this morning for the Sunshine Coast. So, rain all up and down the eastern seaboard, Jim. Not a good thing at the moment. Mystic Journey, as we mentioned earlier, now going to the paddock, potentially the Cox Plate, probably the early favourite. Now, we'll call that market up, Jim, because, of course, Winx has two more starts to go. She galloped yesterday between races. Karen McAvoy got the chance to put her through a pace.
Now, what's the story there?
Like, well, here he was in Melbourne.
I understand that, yeah. But what is it? Hang on a minute.
What's that?
He's a very accomplished jockey in his own right, Karen.
Mm-hmm. What are you saying?
I mean, it's like you going on holidays and giving Dave Stanley. You never give a sucker an even break, do you?
Dave's a great, good man, Dave.
I'm not saying he's not, but the point is, I suppose there's only two races to go. They're not going to make a change, are they?
That's true.
Chris Wallace's not going to say, gee, no. Look good in the saddle there today, Kieran McAvoy.
She looked good yesterday, Winks, but so did Dixie Blossoms. And as you mentioned earlier, Jimmy, few more popular winners than trainer Ronnie Quinton. He's been trying so hard to win a Group 1 with Dixie Blossom. This is her last prep. He nailed it yesterday in the Coolmore Classic, and Ronnie's been good enough to join us online. Ron, good morning. Congratulations. Your sixth Coolmore, your fourth as a trainer. And I think, Ron, you got as much satisfaction out of Dixie Blossom's win as any of your career.
Yes. Yes, Ray. Very, very proud moment for me yesterday to be able to win that Group 1 with Dixie. She's been one of our favourite horses in the stable for years now. Mm. So, it was very, very, very satisfying. I was very, very proud.
Not only is she a very successful racehorse, but she's a delight, apparently, to have around the stable. Is that right, Ron?
That's for sure. She's the most intelligent, one of the most intelligent horses I've ever had anything to do with. You know, she's just a real queen, you know?
Mm. I loved your quote yesterday, Ron. You could put her out in the street and she'd find a way back home, Dixie Blossoms.
Yeah, that's it. She would. She wouldn't stray too far away, I wouldn't have thought.
Mm. The other thing, of course, out of gate two, found the fence, which was pretty handy in the end. But I thought the ride from Christian Reith, when he got into the straight and was... He knew he had a lot of horse under him, and he was just trying to find the opportunity. What was his comment after the ride? What was your comment to him, Ron?
It was a great ride, all right, you know, and he certainly was assisted by the good barrier draw, and where some of the horses were posted very wide, but he was able to find the gaps at the right time, and she accelerated really well. Accelerated like the real old Dixie, you know.
Did you have any luck talking to Alan Osberg about keeping her in training next season, Ron, or was this definitely her last prep?
I'd say for sure that this will be her last prep for sure. She's got probably nothing to prove now, so you know she'll go off to stud in the spring, and his next biggest decision, Alan's, would be to choose what stallion he'd send her to. So that'll be the next biggest decision for Alan, you know.
High quality problems, aren't they, really?
Yeah.
Which
stuff
are you going to send the Group 1 winner to? She's in the market for the Coolmore Legacy Stakes. That's in 4 weeks' time, and she's there at $11. Will there be a race in between, Ronnie?
Oh, yeah, there'd have to be. You know, she could probably run in the Emancipation in a fortnight, maybe. But she'll get that full penalty now, so anyway, we'll just let the dust settle and then work out where we go from there.
Mm. But what about Daisy Doom, your other great mare, who won the Coolmore last year, Ronnie? I know she drew the car park yesterday, and her racing pattern was going to suggest it was going to be a very tough run for her. Is that the reason you decide to scratch and wait for another day?
Oh, for sure. Well, she drew 21. She also heavy track, and she had 58 kilos in a handicap. And there's only two mares ever carried 58 or more in a Coolmore to win them. They were Emancipation and Sunline, and they were champions.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so it's not really a race for real top weights to win, but so she was going to have a gutbuster run from out there, and as you saw with I'm Serious, it was posted wide from 15 alley, and so you can imagine where poor old Daisy would have been. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, she's a fresh horse on the scene for Emancipation. Dixie Blossoms was terrific yesterday. Ronnie, I know you'd love to win that race named after the great mare you used to ride.
Yeah.
Ronnie, great scenes yesterday. Congratulations on your sixth Coolmore. No one's won more Coolmores than Ronnie Quinton. And great to see you, mate. Congratulations. And thanks for joining us this morning, Ron.
Pleasure always.
Thanks, Ron.
There he is, Ronnie Quinton. Great to have him without the horse on the treadmill, to be honest. We're getting a great amount of feedback about the fact we spoke to a horse on a treadmill. Just so happened that Peter Snowden was standing next to it as well, which is lucky for us. 1353 53 is the open line number. Hi, team, my trader. Following along the lines of Cody Walker, has to be Anthony Seibold. Can't wait till round 8. That's from the Raby Rabbit, a.k.a. Bunny Boy. So, yeah, good win for the Rabbits on Friday night. Disappointment for Anthony Seibold on Thursday night. And for all our new listeners, especially up there in Queensland, I said it earlier, I don't think you could get too upset. You know, I think there's some tinkering that he can do, and I still think that there's a spot for Sean O'Sullivan in the halves. I'll be really interested to see what he... I'd love to see Anthony Milford at fullback.
Yeah.
I would love to see Anthony Milford at fullback. Now, where you move Darius Boyd, well, you might have a centre spot for him in the injury to James Roberts in the short term. But Anthony Milford, the fullback. Cody Nikorima, when he ran the ball, I thought looked
different
dangerous. Sean O'Sullivan to steer them around.
Early days. Remember last year, Sydney got off to a very sluggish start. Seibold's first year as coach. I think they won two of their first five. And then they just clicked into gear. So early days. This is from Manly Manel. Morning, boys. My trader was Bozo Bobby Fulton. Couldn't believe it when he went for the money at the Roosters. What was worse, I followed them for 2 years. Cheers, Manly Manel. I think he went to the Roosters in 1980 by memory, and I think that was about the time Alex Jesolenko.
Earlier.
Yeah,
earlier.
Could have been. You reckon it was
1980? Because he coached them in 1980 in the grand final.
Did he play the start of the season? Then he quit? I can't remember now. Because it's about the same time that Alex Jesolenko went from Carlton to St Kilda. And they were two of the biggest names in both codes at the time. And that was an extraordinary move by the great Jesita.
How many years was he at Carlton before he went to St Kilda?
Oh, his whole career.
That was like Dermot Brereton. He shopped himself around a fair bit. He went to the Swans and then he went back to Collingwood.
Yeah. We'll check when Bozo did duck across. I thought he started at the Roosters and then quit halfway through the year and was just coaching them. So.
Phil the Dragons shipped in with three traders. One, Michael O'Connor, of course, went from the Dragons. Mind you, he came to the Dragons from Rugby Union, so you can't have it both ways. Phil the Dragon went to Manly. Gordon Tallis.
Get
a bit of mention there. And Rod Reddy, still bitter. Rocket Red Reddy went to Illawarra Steelers. So there you go. 1353 53 is the open line number. Let's get to Dougie, one of our regular callers. He's on the line. G'day, Doug.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you?
Good morning, mate.
Not bad, thanks. I've got two things to say. Josh Reynolds, what's happened to him with the Tigers?
He is set to become, and we were talking about it during the course of the week, he's set to become the second highest paid player in the Canterbury New South Wales Cup in history. Based on what we saw last night, because of the forward pack Manly had, Michael Maguire said, I need to take four forwards on the bench.
Yep.
He didn't have Jacob Little, and Robbie Farah played 80 minutes, and it all worked out okay.
That's it, yeah. That's the way the cooking from. And I've got another thing about Ivan Cleary leaving Penrith and then went to the Tigers and then back to the Tigers, back to Penrith again.
Yeah, I think he got forced out, didn't he?
He was tired.
Yeah.
When he first left the Panthers.
Yeah, he was tired.
He was tired. So then he got a lot of sleep in that next year. Was able to do it, and then he came back and was not so tired at the Tigers. And then he looked remarkably fresh when the Panthers came in and said, look, here's a new 5-year deal and we're going to pay you a lot of money.
Has he coached Nathan in first grade before?
Not until today.
Ah, fantastic, yeah.
Not until today. Father, son. There could have been another talk topic.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah. We'll hold that one in abeyance. Write that one down.
Write it down. We'll solve it later. Bobby Fulton played no games for the Roosters in 1980. He played there in 77, 78, 79.
Gee, played 3 years. You wouldn't have thought that, eh?
And then was coaching them in 1980 when they lost the grand final to the Entertainers.
There you go. Yep.
The famous Steve Guerin
coached
try.
Coached by Ted Glossop.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Well done. Third. Don't get too far ahead of yourself with the Event Cinemas quiz. You're starting to fire on all cylinders, aren't you, there? Ready to go. 1353 53 is the open line number. For the first time this morning, we say good morning to our producer, Tanya, with the scratchings around New South Wales and Queensland.
Well,
good morning, Tanya.
That's
morning.
The boss.
Good morning, everyone.
AKA the boss. AKA, by the way, did you know Ray back Supernova?
No, I didn't, actually. Thanks for the inside information there.
I'm telling this guy.
We're going out for lunch
again.
Today. What are we doing for lunch today, Raymond?
Whatever you want, honey.
Correct answer.
Other than that, New South Wales racing today, folks, is at Grafton and Bathurst. We have Sunshine Coast in Queensland and Port Lincoln in South Australia. Let's start with Grafton. It's Country Championships qualifier day, where the weather is fine, the track are good four, the rail is true, and there are 17 scratchings. Races 1 and 2 are clear. Race 3, take out 1, Exorbitance, and 8, Wulong Shi, 1 and 8. Race 4, number 12, is a diva, take out number 12. Race 5, number 5, Line Up Girls, is 16, All But Black, 17, Shimizu, and 18, Nip Quick, 5, 16, 17, and 18. Race 6, number 3, Sanglia, 4, Bachelor, and 9, Skylar Zem. 3, 4, and 9. Out of race 7, number 15, Caracavallo, 16, African Academy, 17, So Shy, and 18, Skylar Zem, 15, 16, 17, and 18. And race 8, number 3, Hamoon Boy, 4, Mal Musa, and 7, Jobberwood, 3, 4, and 7. Out of race 8 at Grafton. To Bathurst, the weather is overcast, the track a good 4, the rail true, penetrometer 4.48 and 19 scratchings. Race 1, take out 2 to Chanson, 6, John's Law, and 8, Glowing Cat, 2, 6, and 8. Race 2, number 9, On the Floor, 12, Ditzy Daniela, 15, Luminescent, and 16, Trawalla. 9, 12, 15, and 16. Race 3, take out 4, Hamish the Swift, 6, Well Decorated, and 8, Monopoly, 4, 6, and 8. Race 4 is clear. Race 5, number 4, Made in Milan, 14, Blue Fiasco, and 15, Byzantium, 4, 14, and 15. Race 6, number 3, Angelo, and 8, Showgals, 3 and 8 from race 6. Race 7, number 3, Brothers in Arms, 11, Never Been Another, 16, Bemboka, and 18, Juro. 3, 11, 16 and 18 from race 7, and race 8 at Bathurst is clear. Sunshine Coast and Port Lincoln not final as yet.
Okay, thanks, Tan. Tips today at Grafton, race 6, number 6.
New audience, dare I call them unsuspecting. How are you going with your tips on a Sunday?
We'll move on. Grafton, race 6, number 6, Amarita, very hard to beat. Into the country championships qualifier. She's pretty short. She's the best horse in the race. Just needs luck and running. La Scopa, race 7, number 13, La Scopa. Over to Bathurst today.
Yes.
James, race 3, number 5, Tar Chanson. Into race 4, number 9, Caprera. Also, the Bathurst Cup's on today. Very rare for Gay Wardhouse and Adrian Bott to send a runner up over the Blue Mountain, so to speak. But
yes.
In race 7, the Bathurst Cup, number 5, Chocolatier should be pretty hard to beat.
Yeah, that was like the last time we heard that Vin Cox from Godolphin was heading down to Tasmania, and we thought, oh, he's there to collect the trophy.
The Tasmanian Oaks, what was the name of that horse? Rock Dove, I think.
Rock Dove, not so good.
Beautiful ride.
We got hold of it that day too, and unfortunately no result for us. I've been informed by one of our listeners. Yeah, got to make mention of the fact. South Sydney taking on the North Sydney Bears today at Metricon High Performance Centre. Metricon. Yeah, you and I know it as Redfern Oval.
Oh, okay.
It's at Redfern Oval. Kick-off just after 1 p.m. But the two foundation clubs, South Sydney versus North Sydney, I'm torn in this one.
Mm.
My great mate Shane Millard is coaching the South Sydney Rabbitohs, and my great mate Jason Taylor is coaching the North Sydney Bears.
You played for the Rabbits.
Yeah, but North Sydney's the feeder club for the Roosters.
You're all over it, aren't you?
We're torn on that one. Time for a break. We've got the news chasing us here on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend. After the news, we'll have a chat with Zorba, Peter Peters. We'll also speak with Dean Bulldog Ritchie, and we'll have our Event Cinemas quiz.
I'm Sarah Warmby. Far-right British commentator Milo Yiannopoulos will be forced to cancel an Australian tour after a visa was revoked over his remarks about the New Zealand terror attack. Immigration Minister David Coleman confirmed Mr. Yiannopoulos would not be able to enter the country for his tour, despite granting him the visa earlier this month. Mr. Yiannopoulos described Islam as a barbaric, alien religious culture on social media in the wake of Friday's terror incident, prompting the government's latest decision. The sales of the Opera House were lit up last night with the Silver Fern a day after Muslims were massacred while worshipping at mosques in Christchurch. At least 49 people died in the attack on two mosques on New Zealand's South Island on Friday, and about 40 people are in hospital. Former personal trainer Brenton Tarrant remains in custody on one count of murder, with further charges expected to be laid. Mosques will open across the country today to allow Muslims to share their faith instead of turning people away despite the shooting attacks in New Zealand. The mosques will welcome visitors of all race, religion and gender to step inside. The federal government says the cost of ultrasounds and x-rays will drop thanks to a $200 million investment. It says for the first time in 20 years, the indexation of Medicare benefit schedule items will be expanded from July. The Health Minister, Greg Hunt, has told the ABC it means Medicare rebates for about 90% of all diagnostic imaging services will be indexed.
Such as ultrasounds and x-rays, pregnancy ultrasounds, mammograms, echocardiograms. These are things that can save lives and protect lives. Now, going forwards, we know that there'll be fewer out-of-pocket costs, and that will be important for families and important for doctors.
Yatala Labor Prison in Adelaide's north was forced into lockdown yesterday afternoon after two men dumped a package outside the prison's gates before speeding off. Police said the men approached the guardhouse outside the high-security men's jail and dropped off the package about 12:30. The bag and its contents were inspected and found to be non-suspicious. Overseas, clashes have broken out in central Paris between security forces and anti-government yellow vest protesters who've taken to the streets for the 18th consecutive weekend. The BBC's Lucy Williamson reports.
The violent clashes on the Champs-Élysées are a throwback to the early weeks of this protest when numbers and energy levels were higher. But the government has warned of a large number of ultra-violent protesters, some 1,500 of them, it says, among the 7,000 to 8,000 people assembled in the capital. Police have fired tear gas and water cannon to contain the crowd, which has gathered as usual around the Arc de Triomphe. Several shops along the Champs-Élysées have been ransacked, including the world-famous restaurant Fouquet's.
And France's Air Accident Investigation Agency says investigators hunting for the cause of the crash of an Ethiopian Airlines plane that killed all 157 people on board have begun studying the cockpit voice recorder. Experts say it is too soon to know what brought down the Boeing 737 MAX 8 on March 10, but aviation authorities worldwide have grounded Boeing 737 MAXs as concerns over the plane caused the company's share price to tumble. This is Air News. West Tigers Robbie Farah and Benji Marshall have ensured the Michael Maguire era is off to a winning start with a 20-6 round one NRL victory over Manly. It looked grim for the home side when a valiant Sea Eagles defence gritted their way to a 2-0 lead with half an hour to go at Leichhardt Oval. However, Farah wound back the clock with two second-half tries while Marshall set up a third to spoil Des Hasler's return as Sea Eagles coach. But Hasler says his team will be sharpening their game.
It's our first home game, so I know the players will be smarting from it, and I want to make amends for it. We just have to, you know, fix a few things and tweak a few things with the attack.
The Queensland Reds are celebrating a thrilling 34-31 Super Rugby win over the Sunwolves in Tokyo. Melbourne have blown a golden chance to land their first Super Rugby win in South Africa, giving up a massive lead to lose to the Lions 36-33 in Johannesburg. A clinical performance from France condemned Italy to a 22nd consecutive Six Nations defeat with a 25-14 win in Rome today, and Wales thrashed Ireland 25-7. In the A-League, there were wins for Melbourne Victory and the Central Coast Mariners. Penalty corner expert Jeremy Hayward powered Australia to their fourth straight win in hockey's new Pro League, downing Argentina 3-2 at Sydney Olympic Park. And the Hockey Roos were beaten by Argentina 1-0. Australian Independent Radio News.
On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
Southbound lane closures are in place on South Darling Street between Fitzroy and Cleveland Streets this weekend for light rail work. Use Anzac Parade and plan ahead. Visit livetraffic.com. In Kensington, there's a smash on South Darling Street just past Todman Avenue. One southbound lane closed. In Pitt Town, we've got a smash involving an animal on Cat Eye Road. And flooding affecting a few roads around Sydney. In Rozelle, one citybound lane on the Crescent is closed as you approach Victoria Road. In North Ryde, flooding on Lane Cove Road at Cox's Road is affecting southbounders. And in Shanes Park, Stony Creek Road closed between Sirius Place and Stanley Street. Love a great deal on stylish furniture? Right now at Amart Furniture, save up to 50% off selected furniture across the store. With deals this good, you'll be saying, I got it at Amart. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Well, Sydney weather, we'll go around the country actually, James. Sydney showers, possibly heavy at times, 23 degrees. Brisbane showers and a possible storm, heading for a top of 29. Adelaide, sunny, lovely day, 31 degrees. Hobart, mostly sunny, 22 degrees. And Darwin, shower or two, top of 34.
Gee, they're very abbreviated, aren't they? What are those people at the Bureau of Meteorology doing this
morning? Well, we had to rush through and had to go around the country.
Just on that, during the course of the week, do you know who Soon Finlow is?
No.
No, neither did I. He asked me to be a friend on Facebook, and I thought nothing of it. Lives at Maitland. I thought, yeah, fair enough. And then next thing I find out, he works at the Bureau of Meteorology, and I thought,
they've got you tagged.
Maybe one of those persons that I've been having a go at on a Sunday morning.
You got you tagged. James, can I make a quick mention, and I do want to acknowledge your role in this.
And we'll do that very shortly after we do our opener, Raymond.
Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Welcome back to the show. After nearly 10 years of working together with you, James, we still have a couple of little false starts.
We're just betting things down at the moment. We don't want to rush into locking anything in, Ray. But,
okay. But I do want to make mention of this young man.
Yes.
His name is Sam Ahrens. Good morning, Sam. He's a friend of my nephew. He's a little 11-year-old boy who's doing it tough at the moment, but James, I want to acknowledge your role in this. Sam's a massive St George supporter, St George Illawarra Dragons. They did send little Sam a supporters pack before Christmas.
And yep.
But you contacted Brian Johnston after I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago at the St George CEO, and he arranged for Zach Lomax, one of St George Illawarra Dragons' most promising young players.
Yep.
I know you got a huge rap on him.
Yep.
To visit Sam in hospital late last week, completely unannounced. As I said, Sam's doing it tough. And when Zach walked in, I spoke to Sam's mum, Christine. She just said that Zach was the most obliging, polite, courteous young man. Spent a lot of time with Sam. It made Sam's day. So to you, Jimmy, to Brian Johnston, to the Dragons players, particularly Zach Lomax, thank you very much. And to little Sam, our thoughts and prayers are with you, mate, and I hope that just gives you that little pick-me-up that you need, mate. Best of luck, Sammy.
Well done, Raymond. Well said, absolutely. Here, get well soon, Sammy. Zorba up very shortly. We'll have a chat to him about round one. Well, what are we?
Through round one. Two games to go.
We're three quarters of the way through it, aren't we? We'll speak to Zorba about that. We'll try and have a chat with someone within the Supernova camp, given Ray's big win yesterday. We'll do the event cinemas quiz. Score update, Raymond?
Is it 5-all?
5-all it is.
Yeah, I can see it written on your little book there.
Yeah. Stanley absolutely rorted it last week.
Tanya's finding the most expensive restaurant in Sydney now.
Well, fair enough. You had 200 on it.
I didn't.
And we'll also have a chat with Dean Bulldog Richie with all the latest. But we've got to give away our first question for the China Doll quiz. Remember, it's a $150 voucher, courtesy of chinadoll.com.au.
We can endorse said product.
Oh, magnificent. I think the pork sort of won through
in the
end.
Pork,
yeah, the pork was good. Anyway, first question is, where will Dixie Blossoms go next? Kilmore Legacy in 4 weeks' time, but where will Dixie Blossoms go next, as told to us by Ronnie Quinton? the trainer in our previous hour. 13:53:53. Do not call now. Wait till you get your third question, which means you've got to listen to the whole program. It's a radio technique that we're using here to try artificially keep people listening to you and I, Ray. There's nothing artificial about this bloke. He's been a journalist in rugby league, a former great player, of course, won a premiership with the Manly Seagulls in 1973, and he's our voice of the people, we'll call him, on a Sunday morning. And by the way, he came up with a zapper for us last week, in case you missed it.
I missed it, yeah.
He thought the Rabbitohs would beat the Roosters, round one. He got it exactly
good man,
right.
Zorb, he's so, on the board already.
So he's a man in form. Morning, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray. Yeah, morning, Pete. Well, what a start. Wet start, but great ratings on television, good
yes.
crowds, and first up, a salute to rugby league. I thought the way they jumped in straight away, a few hours after that tragic happening in Christchurch for the game to show that it cared, a few hours after it happened was magnificent. It carried on over to Auckland prior to that game there last night between the Bulldogs and the New Zealand Warriors. So the game shows it has got a great heart, which is wonderful.
Yeah, I think we always knew that. Mm. Just on that, we'll go to that game first before we get to some of the others. I thought maybe a long year for the Bulldogs. Absolutely confirmed within 80 minutes last night, Zorb. What did you think?
Yeah, I'm really concerned for the Bulldogs and for my beloved Seagulls too. I thought they were pretty ordinary last night. But the Bulldogs, I was surprised first up that that Dean Pay didn't put Reece Martin, who was one of their successes last year, in their side. I mean, they're a club that's got by on great goal kickers. Not that it mattered last night, that didn't bite them. But I thought Martin was a good enough player and a terrific goal kicker to get a start in that side, particularly as the pack is it's so predictable. I mean, you need a court order to get the ball off the forwards. They all play the same way. There's just nothing different about Jackson, Faitala Mariner, Adam Elliott, Corey Helwira-Neera, Sue. They all tuck the ball under the arm and that's it. It's almost like they're hiding it.
Yeah.
There was just no variety in their halves, no speed in their back line. I thought they were very ordinary, but full marks to the Warriors. I thought their young halfback and their veteran playmaker, Blake Green, really paved the way for that win. Every time I see Green play, I go Green, because letting him go from his contract at Manly, they've been going downhill since they lost that playmaker. But I thought the Warriors were very, very good.
Just before we get to that, my understanding is that it's Reece Martin's response in training that has let him down, and Dean Pay has responded accordingly.
Oh, okay. Hey, so
well,
what
he may regret that.
Mm. Yeah. So what about the three earlier games, just quickly, the Storm against the Broncos, the Storm, professional, clinical as always. The Knights, everyone's second favourite team, got up over the Sharks 14-8, and the Rabbits, they were pretty convincing against the Roosters.
Yeah, well, I think it's a point in all those games too, that suddenly the number nines are the most fashionable and vital players to the gun rugby league teams. And I think on that score, Brisbane's new boss, Anthony Seibold, well, he learned straight away that he was spoilt last year when he had a running hooker and probably one of the best in the competition. He needs to find a running rate sooner rather than later at the Broncos. Andrew McCulloch, he's an honest toiler, but work trucks are getting left behind in the garage in the modern game. Seibold used and was spoilt with Damien Cook at Souths, but he doesn't have that zippy nine at his disposal. McCulloch simply doesn't have the speed out of dummy half to allow any variety in around the rucks for the Broncos. Now, a lot of people in Brisbane have been saying that this young Broncos pack is going to set the standard for years to come. Well, I don't think it showed in that 22-12 loss to the Storm on Thursday. They need some spark around the rucks, and maybe Cody Nikorima may be in for a switch sometime this season. They need to do something. If you look at the lines around the place at the weekend, well, Nathaniel Roach at the Warriors, that's why
very good.
They weren't too worried about letting Isaac Luke go. Luke is still there, but Roach is a gun out of dummy half. He was injured last year, so not a lot of people know a lot about him. Sam Smith, well, he's got the guile and the beautiful passing game and the brains. Robbie Farah, similar. Two tries, great display last night from him. Jake Friend was good. Damien Cook was good. Danny Levi was good.
Yes.
Happy Corrissau was good. But they're all runners. If you haven't got a runner, then you're left in the dim, dark ages of the old Ken Carneys from yesteryear where you could get by with a hooker when they used to have scrums that you had to strike for. But that's not the case anymore.
Was Max Krillich a runner?
Well, Max, he was. He ran 40 metres to score a try in
a test match?
In Leeds, in a test match. I took the headphones off and cheered the bomb thrower home.
I don't think you can say that in 2009. Anyway, let's move. I'll tell you what I was impressed with last night. It's amazing how it happens. Michael Morgan in 2017 was probably the best player in the competition. There was no Jonathan Thurston. 2018, he was a shadow of his former self, and I know he had injuries. But, again, in the space of 80 minutes, he showed himself to be world-class last night.
Controlled the football, and he controlled the game.
There he did. But what about the big fella, Jason Tomalolo? And look, it's going to be interesting. Once again, I know we're going live to Brisbane these days, and the Broncos fans are wonderful, but their sides, they need to look at their side and have a reality check. I mean, they're in for it this week when they face the Cowboys. When you look at that pack, Tomalolo has just got bigger, meaner, more destructive. Look out opposition forwards, and particularly the young gun Broncos. Tomalolo is on the rampage, and he's got Jordan McLean with him now.
Yes.
Fit and going well. Matt's got likewise. And the ex-Bronco, Josh Maguire, with steam coming out of him every time he takes the ball up. They'll prove a handful for any opposition this season. And Tomalolo ran, well, he virtually galloped, didn't he, for 301 metres last night against the Dragons. It was just an awesome display. The beast is on the loose, and the Cowboys are warning every club in the NRL that if you're going to beat them, you're going to have to beat them in the forwards, and that's going to take an almighty effort. I'm thinking it could be a none from two start to the Broncos, and on their home ground, they'll need to be a lot better than they were this during the week on Thursday in the kickoff if they're going to beat the Cowboys.
No time to panic, though, for the Broncos. I was saying to Jimmy earlier, remember South Sydney last year, Zorb under Seabold, they were slow out of the blocks too, but they clicked into gear by about round five.
When should they panic?
But look, they've got Roberts out now. We don't know for how long. We're going to see Lodge suspended for that tackle on Munster, the same as Fanua Blake will be for his tackle at the legs of a kicking player in Benji Marshall. No place in the game for those sort of things. They're going to be down on strength against the Cowboys, and I don't know whether they've got... I think they're a bit overrated, the Broncos. I thought Jack Bird was good for them, but I thought the rest of them, their halves just aren't competing. I mean, they were well outplayed by Munster and Croft, Milford and Nicarima, but, well, obviously because their pack wasn't going well, but I thought their two tries were a... I think that scoreline of 22-12 flattered them, even though they got back into the game. It should have been 30-something to around 10-12 in that game.
No, fair enough. Matt Lodge, what's he get for that tackle, Jimmy? 2 weeks?
He's got 2 weeks. They're thinking about challenging it, too. They're thinking about challenging it, which I would do if I was them. I think there's mitigating circumstances in that one. Now, Peter Grimshaw has signalled that he's finishing up at the NRL. A lot of people wouldn't know who he is. He's Todd Greenberg's right-hand man, the media man. He's got a long history in working in those types of positions for premiers and deputy premiers. But he's had the flak jacket on. Usually you have a flak jacket on when you go to a war zone. Well, he's had that on for the last 5 years at the NRL, and he's calling it quits.
Interesting time at the NRL with this one, Jimmy. As you mentioned, the resignation of he's a really powerful figure in the NRL. He's the media boss, and he runs it pretty strongly. It's fair to say that some media outlets, and you'll be well aware of this, will be happy that he's going. There have been rumblings for some time that some organisations and individuals have been favoured over others. So much so that I can reveal exclusively this morning that one network boss went to the NRL Central 2 weeks ago to claim as much, saying, look, we're behind the game, we like reporting on it, but we want a fair go. Now, Todd Greenberg, when he got the job, he inherited Grimshaw. He was already there. It'll be interesting to see who gets the gig, how much influence Greenberg has over it. and it's certainly a tough job. I think with Graham Annesley in the league now, he'll be a good calming influence on Greenberg. He knows the position as a former CEO at the Titans, of how important the media are, how you need to go about it. The fact that he's having Monday sessions with the media shows that he knows and understands the media, and I think that he'll probably have a big input into this as well. And congratulations to him. Good to see the referees put their whistles away. 12 months ago, we were complaining about penalties of upwards of 24, 25 in some games. Stop-start game, penalties galore,
yeah,
inside the red zones, boring, killing the game. Well, we saw a big improvement on that in the games thus far. A
yep.
much better approach, and I think it speaks for a better game. The ratings are good, the crowds are up, and I think that's a great start.
Who was the media organisation that complained?
Well, it wasn't Channel 9, it wasn't Channel 10, and do the ABC exist?
Michelle Guthrie says they do. They're paying her a fortune.
Yeah, they are paying her a fortune. She's very happy.
Very happy the ABC exists. Now, Penrith v Parramatta. For those people who are new to the program today, Zorba will give us a tip. He's already 1-for-1 to start 2019. Panthers $1.53. Parramatta $2.55. The line is 5.5.
I think Parramatta will go a lot better. Remember this corresponding game last year. They led at half time, but then fell in a heap.
Yes.
I think they'll go better this year, but I think the Panthers need to get their act together, and I think they will today. I'm not taking any notice of trial form. I'm going to go to the Panthers to win this one.
At the line?
1-12.
Panthers 1-12. Okay. And then the other game, of course, tonight, Gold Coast up against the Canberra Raiders. $1.85, the Titans. The Raiders, $1.95.
Yeah, this is a tough one, too. I'm confused in this game, because if there were two players that had great years for the Titans last year, it was AJ Brinsome,
yes,
and Anthony Don. Well, Anthony Don has gone to jersey number 20, so he's no hope of getting a run. Brimson's on the bench, and probably for his utility value, but I thought he was great in every position they tried him in last year. They put Tyrone Roberts at 5'8 after his stint in the English Super League, and he's a good, steady player. But I thought Brimson was outstanding. I find that strange, but I think at home that they can... Well, 5 out of the 6 winners so far have come from home teams. The only side that was a visitor, or not really a visitor to the SCG, were the South Sydney Rabbitohs in that win over the Roosters. And just in that game, if you think that was fairly fiery and fired up, we're going to wait till the end of the season, the last round of the comp, for them to meet again. But the decision in that game by Cody Walker to call his former teammate a traitor.
Yes.
That has really upset the Roosters, and look for that. Well, what do they call it? The Book of Feuds. I think there's going to be another chapter written, because it was nearly on for young and old, with players rushing in from both sides.
Yes.
And it was probably, well, I think in the heat of the battle, you know, things like that are said. But obviously,
yep,
there was some exception taken to what Cody Walker called Angus Crichton.
Yes.
And the player to fire up was the former South Sydney 5'8", Premiership 5'8", Luke Keary,
yep,
who was a gutsy little player, doesn't step down to anyone, even took on the Gladiator, we can't forget that.
That's right.
And his boss, Russell Crowe. So he just made it clear after the game in the media sessions that he wasn't happy. Neither was Cooper Cronk. You never see Cooper fire up, but he even arced up in that game as well. So the Roosters, as I said this time last week,
yes,
underdone. They've had that game against Wigan, the only game under their belt.
Yep.
The trip home, everything else, they will get better. Wigan continue to lose. And they're not the benchmark in the English Super League anymore.
Well, it has provided us a talk topic, so we're happy with it, the fact that it was good. And by the way, there's a number of people nominating you as being a traitor to the Parramatta Eels when you went over the Manly Seagulls too, by the way.
What would you rather do? Have a look at Duck Creek or go over to God's Country, please?
Thank you, Zorba.
Thanks, Pete. See you, mate.
Peter Peters with his thoughts on the game of rugby league. We need to be very careful around that. At 13:53:53. That's the Avalon number. We've got time for a break now here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. And after the break, we'll be back with your calls on that open line number. 13:53:53.
Race into autumn with the all-new Muscle Brook Cup Day, Friday, March 29, featuring the Muscle Brook Gold Cup. Come and enjoy an authentic, relaxed country racing experience at the TAB Country Race Club of the Year. Get your tickets now at musclebrookraceclub.com.au.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Let's go.
Oh my!
He hits the stick, and that's in. That is a slam dunk for Ryan Moore.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. That was Ryan Moore on the 17th in the Players' Championship. And just a quick update there. I think Rory's still in front, James. I just got to call it up here. Rory McIlroy. John Rahm has now got shot to 15 under, 8 under for the day. He's got a one-stroke lead over Rory McIlroy. So, and Tommy Fleetwood then at 12 under. So John Rahm, 15 under, leads by a shot, one hole to play in the Players' Championship.
Is he the most consistent golfer you've seen for a long, long time, John Rahm? He is
always
there
thereabouts.
Or thereabouts.
Always
every
thereabouts.
Time. 13:53:53. That's the open line number. Lots of SMS coming in here about what we're talking about, our talk topic. Hi, boys. I'm a huge Damien Cook fan now. After listening to him to tip Dixie Blossoms to TK and Loz during his interview during the week. That's from Matt. Good on you, Matt.
This is from Craig Menkins, or Menko. Hi, Jimmy. Glad to hear you on the radio. And Sonny Mackay, I've got family up in Mackay. Our punning syndicate, Clunk Lodge, is heading to the Kentucky Derby in 6 weeks' time. They'll have a great time over there.
I know a number of members of the Clunk Lodge punting syndicate.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Headed by Craig Menkins.
Churchill Downs.
Yeah. I tell you what, it's not many places on the planet they haven't been.
Well, I love Churchill Downs. And can I also mention they should go to Muhammad Ali Centre while they're there in Louisville?
Oh, did you go there, did you, Ray?
Can I talk about that? Another show. Make sure you go there.
Brand new audience. Brand new audience.
Make sure you go to the Muhammad Ali Centre. It is worth it.
Well, there you go. He's a sports lover, Menko. He's former Western Suburbs Magpie.
Oh, okay. Did you play with him?
Hunter Mariner. No, played against him,
okay.
Menko. A great fella. I did go on five or six Melbourne Cup trips in a row.
What happens on tour?
That's exactly right, Raymond. 13:53:53. The open line number. Let's get a call. Bob's on the line. G'day, Bob.
Morning, fellas.
Morning, Bob.
I want to talk about this loyalty thing. Just on that, to start with, congratulations to the Tasmanian trainer, the Batman jockey, and the Batley owners to win that big race yesterday. And they stuck hard with their guys.
Yeah, isn't she a good filly? Mystic Journey.
Now, on disloyalty. I feel sorry for all those country jockeys who drive thousands of kilometres, hours to get to track work, to get all these horses ready for country championships, to have millionaire Sydney jockeys walk in and take their rides.
It cuts both ways, doesn't it, Bob? Because
how?
Well, I'll tell you how. Because if you're the trainer or the owner of a horse...
The owner in particular.
If you're the owner of the horse and you think, well, hang on, I'm a chance to get into this race that's worth...
Potentially $500,000.
$500,000, and you want the best possible jockey on board, then you totally understand why you book the high profile, and for a reason they're high profile is because they are better.
Yeah,
and so you totally understand.
To be
understand
fair,
that,
Bob, in the Grafton heat today, there is only three Sydney jockeys who are making the trek up to Grafton to ride. So, by and large, especially in the heats, the country trainers and owners do stick to their loyal jockeys, the jockeys who ride for them. But come the final, $500,000, you can understand why they may look. If you can get a Hugh Bowman, why wouldn't you get Hugh Bowman?
Do you accept that, Bob?
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah,
yes.
Bob.
Yes.
How about if the jockey wants to ride it on the day of the big race, they've got to have ridden in the lead-up races. Now, let's get your bum on a plane, fly to Grafton, and take them out in one of these heats.
Oh, you want to make it a rule? Is that what you're saying, Bob?
Yeah, I mean... we're putting on a special race for country owners, a special race for country trainers, yet the country jockeys, the ones who keep these meetings going, there's absolutely nothing put in there for them.
Well, you know what? I would have gone the other way, Bob. I would have said, if you want to run the horse in these races, then you have to maintain the same jockey all the way through.
But
if they instituted that, I don't mind it, because then you're not having half the field with the original jockeys on and half the field with the elite jockeys on, but it's a level playing field from a jockey point of view.
And Bob's point's well made. Victorum last year, Bob, Ben Looker, Jenny Graham stuck with Ben Looker all the way through, and his ride in Victorum to win the country championship final was as good as you'll see, Bob.
Good karma.
Good karma. Yeah, no, I like it.
Did you back it, Bob?
Yeah, I did. And just on that karma thing, have a look at what happened with Jonka. His jockey has let run every race leading up to the Magic Millions, a replacement of the high profile jockey. The horse got knocked over, tried running up the inside, and has never won another race.
Yeah, I wonder if that horse has been scarred from that. That wasn't the jockey's fault. That was the rival rider who cut across in front of the field and almost put Jonka over the fence in that Magic Millions.
That's right.
Pretty bad. So.
That's right. Good on you, Bob.
Yeah, and a good call, Bob.
All opinions welcomed here. Hmm. As long as they agree with you and I, Ray.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion,
James. That's right. Yeah. Speaking of opinions, this is what we get in from the critic via SMS. If you want to send us an SMS, it's 0419 767 272. Boys, the Sharks' penalty try on Friday was the worst decision ever in the history of the NRL. Whoever made the decision should be sacked immediately. That's from the critic.
What did you make of the penalty try, by the way?
It wasn't that bad.
I could accept it.
So the person who did make the decision, the senior review official, was Ashley Klein. Look, it's one of those ones where you go, okay. And if they didn't give it, you'd go, okay.
This is now Berger against Culburra Beach. He's from Culburra Beach. Morning, boys. Sonny Bill Williams, the biggest trader of all time. Or maybe... have to throw you in, Jimmy, for telling Tanya about Ray's supernova win. You throw me under the bus.
Hang on,
there,
I'm being loyal to Tanya.
You threw me under the bus.
Hang on, I didn't throw you under the bus. You can't be spruking to me.
I didn't spruke.
You did.
You said, how'd you go last night? I said, I had a good day.
No, you volunteered it.
No, you asked me, how'd you go?
No, you said I had a good day on
you
the races.
You asked me, how'd you go? I said, I had a good day.
You're there at home making it rain like the NBA players when they walk into a nightclub, Ray Thomas style.
Not me.
They came home from the races there. Here, Tanya, there we go. Make it rain. Anyway, hi, lads. Trader Luis Figo. He moved from Barcelona to Real Madrid. He was attacked by the Barcelona fans on his first game back at Camp Nou. That's from the Duck.
Quick update in the FA Cup. Quarter final. Manchester City were down 2-0 against Swansea. They fought back and won at 3-2, Man City.
Boo.
Yeah, well, that keeps them in three competitions, so I'm hoping they get a bit leg weary and Liverpool can get back on top in the championship.
Mm. Just the other game that we've got coming through there.
Wolves are leading your men 2-0.
My team, Manchester United, are down 2-0. If there's one thing we know, it's... where panel operator Hamish tries to insert himself in the program, and he should know better than that.
He's going to cop it in the ad break.
Absolutely. What we need to understand is that in Manchester United time, they don't start playing till about the 80-minute mark.
They better start playing soon.
Oh, well, anyway, that's where they're... the other Premier League results, AFC Bournemouth 2-2 with Newcastle United. Burnley lost at home to Leicester City 2-1, and West Ham United 4-3 against Huddersfield Town. And we'll go through all of those in the next hour with our football expert, and that is Phil Moss.
Is he coming in studio?
That's an excellent question, because last week he refused to come in. And then
he was sick, though, wasn't he?
Allegedly. Mm. And this week he's been able to get his man, Alan Stajic, who he sat next to when he was sacked by... Mm. The FFA, when he was previously coaching the Matildas, sat next to him in the press conference, offered all that moral support, and then he got him a start at the Central Coast Mariners. He's the kingmaker. If you want to be a coach in this country...
That's why he's on our show.
He's the head of the Professional Coaches Association as well.
He's a good man, Mossy. There's a theme coming here, James.
Here we go.
This is from Glenn, the Newcastle Seagull. Good morning, Glenn. Morning, Ray. Lunch with Tanya and Ching Ching. Hey, Ray, surely Jimmy is a traitor for throwing you under the bus after you win yesterday, and also for throwing Dave Stanley under the same bus after his sensational win in last week's quiz. I'll have to go back and listen to this on the podcast.
You have a listen to it, and you'd show me, and you hear how much Dave Stanley cheated in the quiz. There's no other word for it.
He's a good man, Dave. I can't believe it. By the way, Dave's up at Bathurst.
He's heading to Bathurst today, and now he's self-promoting too, sending us an SMS wanting us to let people know that he's heading to Bathurst, and I refuse to do it. I know it's Cup Day up there, and there's going to be
for you,
a huge marquee that he's focusing on the younger generation.
Well, look after Bathurst Club. Let's do that.
Oh, okay. From that point of view, yeah,
they're
let's
good
look
people
after
up
Bathurst.
There.
Forget about Dave Stanley trying to build his profile via this program that's now nationally syndicated. DJs, dance floor, grazing tables. Oh, here we go, grazing tables. Whoever thought of putting that in the promo?
Dave would love that.
Dave did, yeah. Huge day. Can you give it a bit of push for me? I'm helping out the club. They're good people. Oh, what a man of the people. Mate, you're at work.
You're
getting paid to go, David.
Geez, you're hard.
Don't say you're up there helping people.
He's doing a good job. Have a great day, Dave, up there. EJ's on the line. EJ, good morning.
Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Jimmy. How are you, boys?
Terrific. Well, mate, what have you got for us, EJ?
I just want to say how great it is to hear you on the airwaves in beautiful Brisbane for a change and having to listen to you on the net.
Oh, Brisbane, okay. Is it raining up there, EJ?
Yeah, it's got a few showers. Yeah. I tried to connect to you last week, but you had problems with your online services. So I missed out on the quiz, so I had to go home and watch a few reruns of Abbott and Costello, but it still didn't work.
Stay tuned this week. You never know what's going to happen in about 10 minutes, EJ. Anything could happen.
We've got a whole suite of new listeners that have no idea that we butchered the quiz for the last
every
4 years. Yeah.
And just to say, with the football, it's great to see it putting back on. All the boys at work are just talking about what's happening on the field and not what's happening off it. So it's outstanding.
Well said, EJ. It's great to have the footy back, isn't it? And are you a Broncos man, EJ?
I'm a Rooster all the way through.
Like you more and more, EJ. The more I speak to you, the more I like you. Fantastic. Yeah, and a very good judge as well. So there you go. Great to have EJ. One of our Brisbane listeners, a new listener via the wireless. That's how they're listening up there with the transistor.
By the net, but now you can listen.
Yeah, that's right.
On the wireless.
That's right, on the wireless. Look, it won't be too long till they get radios up there in Brisbane too, which will be fantastic. 1353 53, that's the open line number. It's time now to go to a break. But after the break, we're going to play the Event Cinemas quiz. So if you'd like to be a part of the quiz, we'd like someone from one of our new listenerships to be part of the quiz, okay?
Well, but it's first in, first served, isn't it?
It is. But the board lights up when it's a chance
so
to call.
How do people call in, James?
Well, Tanya, producer Tanya just goes, oh, where are you from?
Yeah.
I'm from Tamworth. See you later.
You've got to give the number out again.
I did. 1353 53. Call now if you'd like to be part of the quiz, especially if you're from, say,
interstate.
Launceston. We'd love to have a contestant from Launceston. Call now. 1353 53.
Nova Employment has been matching businesses to staff with ability for over 28 years and have an unbeatable track record of success. Nova can assist businesses of all sizes.
Hi, I'm Tony from Tony's Grind in Parramatta. Nova Employment took the hassle out of recruiting. They found us a reliable team member who really fits into our cafe. I'd recommend other employers focus on ability.
Recruiting? Choose Nova Employment, Sydney's premier disability employment service. Visit novaemployment.com.au.
Race into autumn with two massive race days at Muswellbrook. Sunday, March 24 is Country Championships Wildcard Day. Catch all the action as horses vie for the final two spots in the Country Championships final. Then, one of the Upper Hunter's premier social events this autumn, the Muswellbrook Workers Club Muswellbrook Gold Cup on Friday, March 29. There'll be colts galore and fillies to adore. Get your tickets now at muswellbrookraceclub.com.au.
Sports Radio and Radio Tab. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Before we get to the quiz, this is from Cole from Newcastle. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. How can you say that about the penalty try? The scorer they were originally looking at couldn't ground the ball correctly. That was Dugan. But the officials were sure the other Shark player could. How does that work?
It's an assumption, Cole. The assumption is that they're going to get the ball down.
Even though the ball was going at right angles away from him.
They were denied the right to try and do that, and that's why it became a penalty try.
It's a rule, though, it'll be certain they would have scored.
Certain they would have scored.
Yeah, I'm not bagging, I'm just saying, you certainly would have scored.
Yeah, he would have got to the ball first.
The ball's
so now we have to go, oh, hang on now. Oh, hang on. Did the ball, just before it kicked sideways a little bit, as the regular
Shane
ball
Warne
can. That's right. Yeah, so we go, maybe he didn't. He wouldn't have got that. You make an assumption that he would have, all things being equal.
Thank
I know
you.
That's hard to
it's
do.
It's not the worst thing in the world.
It's discretionary. It's discretionary. Yeah. Dave Stanley would have to be the oldest 28-year-old bloke on the planet. Still talks in yards and miles. But he sounds like a top bloke. Sounds can be deceiving, Rick.
No, he
from
is, Rick. And just one more. This has been a common theme too. We'll go to the quiz shortly. Mick from Narooma. G'day, Jimmy and Ray. Huge traders. John Dorahy, Les Boyd, Ray Brown, Tom Radonikis. Of course, Dorahy, Boyd and Brown went to Manly in that famous swap in the mid to late 70s.
And we've got a Western Suburbs Magpies there, a fan there by the sound of it. And Narooma, special place in my heart, Narooma. Went there for our family holidays 10 years in a row.
Beautiful part of the world.
Oh, it's magnificent. Mm. It's magnificent, isn't it? Okay, now time for the quiz. Now, just to update people, I said, who do you want to be, one or two? You said, I'll go two. Mm. For those new listeners, two, Ray has a phobia about odd numbers. And as a result of that, when's your alarm set?
For our new listeners, is one thing you'll never forget. You tell James Smith nothing because he's got a memory like an elephant.
Wait, what time's your alarm set?
Every chance he gets.
Please tell me, what number is your alarm set?
4:46.
Why not 4:45, which is a
little quirky bit of my nature, James.
All right, here I am. I'm going to be player one. Player one. And player one is Rodney. Hello, Rodney.
Yeah, good morning.
Here we go,
hello,
Rodney.
Good
I reckon
luck,
you've
mate.
Been on the quiz previously, but let's go. Question one, which NRL club is prop Liam Knight playing for this season?
I think it's Newcastle.
Oh, you're thinking correctly. Rodney, it's the South Sydney Rabbitohs,
good
the former
too,
Canberra Raider.
Good player.
Question two, the Bulls are leading the South African table in the Super Rugby. Where are they based? Is it A, Pretoria, B, Cape Town, or C, Durban?
A.
Oh, solid.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well
rock
done.
Solid,
good work, Rodney. Question three. In which sport did Australian Simon Fairweather win a gold medal at the Olympic Games? Was it
archery.
A?
Rock solid, Rodney.
Well done. Hang on. Two from three. I think Simon Fairweather appeared in a Snickers ad. Is that right? Or? Yeah. There's not many. You know, archery's not the sexiest sport on the planet.
What is that?
Anyway, well, you win a gold medal, I suppose.
You deserve it.
Cheered in a Snickers ad.
Oh.
Interesting choice, I would have thought.
It is, yeah.
Not many scandals in archery,
no.
I suppose.
Well, actually, we've gone through those three questions without a scandal. We'll have to fire up here.
You've
hey, Mitch,
it,
you on the line?
Early.
Top of the morning, gentlemen.
How are you, Mitch? Hey, Mitch, we need some controversy here, mate. Best of luck, Mitch. We need two to tie, three to win. Question number one. Which NRL club is hooker Zach Wolford playing for this season? Which NRL club?
Ooh. Would that be the Bulldogs?
It's the Knights.
Former Bulldog. Former Bulldog.
Okay, here we go. Multiple choice question number two, Mitch. There are two Formula One races in March this afternoon in Australia. Which country is... Oh, sorry. I'll start again. There are two Formula One races in March. One is this afternoon in Australia. Which country is holding the other? A, is it China? B, Azerbaijan? C, Bahrain?
We'll go China.
Bahrain later this month. Jimmy's... is that game over?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, very hard for you to win from this point, I would have thought, Mitch. Bad luck, mate. Thanks for being a part of the show.
Just wipe the poor bloke.
See you later, Mitch. Come on, taking up too much time of this program. Rodney, congratulations, mate.
Too easy, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Where are you from, Rodney?
Oyster Bay.
That's Oyster
nice
Bay in Sydney. Your nearest event cinemas would probably be Miranda. Yeah, well, great cinema there. They've got the gold class there. I don't think we've got the gold tickets for you today. Sorry about that, Rodney, but we've got that all courtesy of Prakash and the team at Event Cinemas. So we do thank them for that. Stay on the line, mate. We'll get you...
Another one for you, Jimmy.
What's that?
Another one for you.
No, don't
back
worry.
In front, Rodney.
I know you're very happy to receive the tickets, but no one's happier than I.
He's the most competitive man, Rodney. You've got no idea.
All right, there we go. Good on you, Rodney. Just a score update. 6-5. And for those people for listening to the program for the first time, it goes on. Whoever wins this year gets...
How many cartons?
Four cartons of beer from the other person.
After you drank the three that you won last year. In record time, by the way.
It was the Christmas period, Raymond. 13:53:53. That is the open line number. We're going to take a break on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend. And after that, we'll be back with Dean Bulldog Ritchie talking rugby league.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery and Parramatta.
Another quick success story about radio. Every day, John trusts his favourite radio presenter to tell him what's important. So when an airline needed to tell people like about a flight sale, they asked to endorse it on air. Once people like John heard about the sale endorsed by the presenters, they trusted it was a great deal and sales took off. And it was all thanks to radio. Alive with trust, alive with results. Visit radioalive.com.au.
Sports Radio and Radio Tab. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. And this is from Parramatta. Has anyone mentioned the elephant turncoat in the room? Jimmy Smith, where hasn't he worked? Sky Sports Radio, ABC, Triple M, Channel 9, Fox Sports, Bill and Boz. What have I missed, James? And no wonder he needs a budget and a Hertz truck to pick up all his group certificates at tax time.
Yeah, see, that's a little bit unfair at the moment, Paramat, but appreciate your feedback. Ray, not only does Jimmy have a memory like an elephant, but since he's shaved his head, he's got the ears to match. Paul and Huskisson. Like Master Monkey, one of the different
new
listeners.
Paul's got a very interesting take on life.
Yeah, there we go. Ray had five winners in the Friday telly, and one of them was Supernova. There you go. Dave stood up there for himself against Jimmy, and that's why he's copying it today. That's from Judy. And for those people who don't know, Judy sends SMS that we very rarely read out.
No, Judy's a long-time listener, and
that's
good morning,
I mean.
Judy, and we always appreciate her. So Dave actually stood up for himself, did he?
What's that?
Dave stood up for himself, did he?
Oh, well, he tried to.
Return serve a few times?
But he couldn't. He clearly cheated in the quiz. I want you to listen to the talk back.
I'll listen to it back.
Back to the open line, Raymond. 1353 53.
We've got Nathan on the line there. Nathan, good morning.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Terrific. Mate, what do you got for us, Nathan?
Mate, the Friday night game, what's his name, Darius Boyd up the back there. Mate, what's going on? I don't follow any team in particular. I don't say follow players, so there's no biased opinion. I just don't understand, man. He's on all that money, and when that... what's that front rider went through?
Bromwich, his defensive effort on Bromwich, is that what you're saying?
Mate, any other player would absolutely get slaughtered by the commentators. Not a thing he said. It was a dismal attempt of a tackle. At the very least, he should be sitting on his bum. He gets offloaded away and a try still comes. At least he done his part.
Daniel Tupou.
It was Daniel Tupou. Yeah. Right, yeah. Well, he was one of the outstanding players in the grand final. I've got a feeling he was first try scorer in that grand final as well. Right,
yeah. We've got Bruce, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Terrific. Bruce, what do you got for us, mate?
Hey, I just think, I heard you talking about the referees and they're not doing a good job this year.
Mm-hmm.
If they keep that up, that standard of refereeing up, Melbourne Storm will win the 2019 NRL.
These aren't going to be, well, for one of them, nitpicking in that regard, and they'll be getting away with more and more throughout the course of the season. Slows the game down, reset your defensive line. Yep. No one does it better than Melbourne.
So professional.
Oh, and wouldn't every side like to do it as good as that?
Yeah, they're very well coached.
Well, but in saying that, Bruce, does it make it for a better spectacle?
Oh, I think Melbourne are probably one of the entertaining sides of the competition.
Yeah, but do they let other sides play in it? You know what? So we're talking the other side of the ball then.
Okay.
You know what I mean? If teams can't get a roll out of or be able to use the ball against the Melbourne Storm, what does it do about stifling the game?
Yeah, but if they're getting away with it, why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah, all right, okay. It's an interesting way to look at it, and it's one of those things with the game of rugby league. You pull one lever a little bit, and it has all this ripple effect.
But yeah, but you would have been coached that way too. If what you're pushing the envelope every time, aren't you?
Yeah, but not to the extent that they do there. There was no way that the focus on the play the ball was like it. And that's 20 years ago. No way that it is now.
Understood. What about the policing of the 10?
What about it?
Probably what obviously wasn't like it was last year. Are they encroaching too much? Only round one, I know. It's only round one.
The other thing is, it's whether you check in and leave early.
Mm.
So that's the other thing. You can get back 10 metres, but if you're leaving early, it has the same effect.
Yep.
So they need. That's the thing. Finding the balance between letting the game flow and making sure teams are onside and not leaving early.
I think most footy lovers would be on the side of us. Less penalties letting the game flow.
Just before we get to Dean Bulldog Ritchie, this is from Sabrina. It's a very interesting point. Mm-hmm. Back to the jockeys issue we were talking about. If you stick with the same jockey on a horse, that is not best for the horse. The jockeys know certain courses like Pike at Ascot, and Williams at Flemington and Caulfield, etc. Country jockeys don't have this knowledge of the big courses. That's Sabrina.
That's a very good point, Sabrina. Yep.
It's an excellent point. Mm-hmm. 1353 53 is the open line number. Time now to have a chat to a regular NRL contributor, the Daily Telegraph's number one rugby league writer, Dean Bulldog Ritchie, back for another big season in 2019. Morning, Dino.
Good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Ray. Great to be back yet again.
Yeah, well, great to have you back. I'll tell you what, Dino, before we get into the nitty-gritty of round one, given it's the first time we've spoken to you this year, we've got to get some predictions from you, mate. Have you decided on a premiers for 2019?
I have, Jimmy, and I had to do this for the paper about 3 to 4 weeks ago. So, look, I'm going to stick solid. I said the Roosters will go back-to-back.
Right.
They got beaten on Friday night, but nothing really has changed my mind, obviously, after one game. So I've got the Roosters being the first team since Brisbane 92-93 to win the grand final against Penrith. And I've got the Dragons and the Bunnies to round out my top four.
Okay. And what about most losses or wooden spooners?
I've got the Titans down there, Jimmy, although based on what I saw yesterday, I can't see Canterbury winning too many games. Again, let's stress, it is round one, but they just looked off the pace and there's not a lot of spark there. There's not a lot of zest there. And to get beaten that heavily in round one when you try to buy into the belief of a team during the off-season, it's really quite heartbreaking. And to see the Dogs, to me, I'd love to know the Tab betting now when they reevaluate on Monday, because I reckon they could be wooden spoon favourites.
Mm, exactly. And Dally M winner, Dino?
I'm going to go with Luke Keary, Ray. Mm-hmm. He's just a feisty little fella, and he's in a good football team, and I think he'll poll well. I know he's got a lot of good players around him, but I think Keary will poll well most weeks, and I'll go a little bit left field, mate. I think Luke Keary will win the Dally M medal.
Fair enough. Jimmy, I wasn't here last week. What was your premiers, wooden spooners and Dally M winners?
My premier was the Roosters, the wooden spooners, either the Eels or the Bulldogs, and I refrained from giving a Dally M winner because I'm a judge.
Oh, fair enough.
So I stay away from that.
Penrith for premiers, Dogs for Wooden Spoon, Cameron Munster
can you,
winner.
Can you reveal who you go for too?
St George and Penrith.
Right. So you've named them as your who your Wooden Spooners?
The Dogs, yeah.
And
Cameron
Dally
Munster.
He was spectacular on Thursday night, I thought, Cameron Munster. Hey, Tino, I want to ask you this. As revealed in the Daily Telegraph on Friday, I think it was, the day of the game, $40 million over the course of a number of years coming the way of the Cronulla Sharks via their development, et cetera. Why does Barry Russell resign when he's taken the club through the really difficult period if he knows $40 million is coming their way? Why does he resign?
It's a really good question, Jimmy, and quite clearly Barry Russell has a lot of integrity. He self-reported the salary cap, but I think you'll find the moment he self-reported, he became offside with a number of directors, albeit that the directors approved Barry Russell self-report. At that point, they only thought it was $50,000. They didn't realise quite the enormity of it, but it became virtually untenable. Look, Barry's quitting, but, you know, I can't help but think he's been pushed this way and prodded that way because it was his dream job. I spoke to him about a year ago, and this was the job he'd craved his entire life. So I can't see why he would walk away. But it's just a shame it's come to this. It's almost like, Jimmy, that, you know, honest guys come last, and it just wasn't working down there. A bit of dissension among him and the board, and it's prompted him to have to leave. As I said, this is a bloke that drew praise from Todd Greenberg for one of the few rugby league officials who actually do the right thing and self-report a salary cap indiscretion.
Yeah, it's extraordinary for telling the truth. You get torpedoed. Hey, Dino, it would have been a tough game for the Warriors yesterday given the tragic events of Christchurch, but and there are more important things than football, I know, but that 46 win was pretty emphatic.
Yeah, it certainly was, Ray. I mean, every year we get on here and we ask the question, are they the real deal? And I've fallen in multiple times thinking of the Warriors will do some good things in rugby league. They've made two grand finals, but generally since 1995, they've been a dismal failure, let's be honest. Yep. I am hearing a bit of mail over there that Steve Kearney was disappointed internally at the retention committee. He had a bit of a... Sean Johnson claimed he had a fallout with Kearney, but Kearney actually wanted to keep Johnson. The retention committee, however, went over the top and got rid of him. Although, based on what we saw yesterday, that young Adam Kieran had a very, very good game. He looks like a kid on the rise, but certainly at the time, you can take it as read that Steve Kearney wasn't happy with how Johnson left the club.
Couple of games today, mate. Have you got any team changes? The Panthers up against the Eels, and then later tonight, the Titans up against the Raiders.
Yeah, that's the 4 o'clock game out there at Panthers Stadium. Jimmy, Panthers, their hooker, Sione Katoa, got concussion. He's been ruled out. Wade Egan, the replacement there. Ooh. Jerome Luai coming onto the bench. Now, Dallin Wachin-Zelezniak and Josh Mansell, they both had concerns. One knee, one leg cut that they'll both play. And over at Parramatta, Junior Paulo was named on an extended bench. Hamstring injury ruled out. Evan French also drops off that extended Parramatta bench. There's a 6-10 going up there at Seba. Titans Raiders, Ryan James, the top of the knee injury, cleared to play. Mitch Rain, Keegan Hipgrove, amid the original squad. And over there at the Raiders, BJ Lalua had a hamstring injury. He will play. And another boost to the Raiders, their English recruit, John Bateman. He had a side strain, but he will line up at lock forward.
Terrific. Any other news, Dino?
Yeah, a bit of news about young Blake Braley, right? He's the kid who made his debut for the Sharks on Friday night. He's off contract after this year. Take it as read, he's going to attract plenty of attention. His brother down there, Dayton Braley, is signed long-term, so there's a theory that they probably can't keep both. So watch for young Blake to attract plenty of attention out there. One club, I'm told, is already having some internal discussions, is the Sydney Roosters. Another story before I go, guys. George Williams is the Wigan halfback. He's under a contract over there long-term, but there is some interest in Canberra. Reports emerged during the week that he had, in fact, signed, but it's not quite right. There is interest from both parties, but Wigan has slapped on a hefty transfer fee. The Raiders are trying to get that figure down. If they can get it down, they'll get him. But if they can't, they're going to have to let him slip through their fingers. Good kid, George Williams, a very good young player too. But at the moment, the deal with the Raiders is happening, but hasn't quite occurred just yet.
Huge season for Aiden Caesar. Huge season, depending on what happens with his career. Good on you, Dino. Appreciate that, mate. We'll be doing it again next week.
Thanks, Jimmy. Just before I go, Jimmy, you mentioned Jason Tamalolo on social media last night. I looked up his stats, 21 runs
for 301 metres, six tackle busts, one try assist, two line breaks. Absolutely barnstorming